Healing Your Relationships Through Love, Module 2, Healing Your Relationship to Others. Hello and welcome to Module 2 of this four-part audio series, Healing Your Relationships Through Love. I am Dr. Erica Goodstone, and I am so happy to be able to share with you what I have learned about creating love with others. The focus of today's call is healing your relationship to others. Let me begin with a huge welcome. By taking this class about healing your relationship to others, you have taken a giant step toward healing your relationship, not only with your most intimate partner, but also with everyone in your life. For many of us, relationships with others are about what we believe another person can do for us. Or, if we feel altruistic, relationships with others are about what we believe we can offer them. In other words, most of us operate on the assumption that the purpose of relationships is to give or to receive. And, if we are lucky, we will be able to give and receive at the same time from the same person. Yes, giving and receiving helps us to feel valued and loved, appreciated, worthwhile, and sometimes special. But relationships have a much more important and often intangible purpose. Instead of focusing on material gifts and obvious behavioral representations that appear to us as giving and receiving, if we allow others to be who they are, to express themselves fully, and to live their dreams in our presence, what greater gift could we offer? And if someone allows us to be who we are, to express ourselves fully, and to live our dreams in their presence, what more could we want from another? One of the 10 biblical commandments is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I would like to expand that notion. Have you ever done for a friend or a loved one exactly what you would have liked him or her to do for you? And not only did they not appreciate it, but they didn't even like it. And you felt hurt, rejected, and unappreciated. Perhaps you started to feel that you give so much and they just don't reciprocate. If you had a heart-to-heart talk with this person and really listened and heard what they said, you might be surprised to realize that what you have been giving from your heart is not what they want. It can be that simple. Many, many, many relationships suffer every day from the misconception that if I like something and if I give that to another person, he or she will like receiving it and will be grateful for it. And the corollary misbelief is that if that person is not showing appreciation, it is because they have a character flaw. We probably will believe that they are not reciprocating because they are selfish or self-centered. They don't care. They don't know how to love. They're unfair, or any sort of reasoning. Who gave you the idea and the belief that you know how to love, that the way you think and the way you give is the right way, the caring way, or the loving way? Who decided that you have cornered the market on loving and the other person is deficient? Getting back to the biblical statement, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, I believe we have developed an incorrect interpretation because our mind tends to think in a literal way. We do not have to do unto others exactly the way we want done unto us. We need to do unto others the way they want done unto them. Why? Because we want others to do for us what we want done for us, not what they want to do, but what we want. That is the mutual reciprocation. But what is it that we want others to do for us? We often think we want others to praise and acknowledge us through their words, their actions, and their behaviors. But have you ever been praised by someone who says the right words, does the right thing, and they do it for everyone? Have you ever caught a person just mouthing the words without any real heart and emotion to back it up? And by the same token, have you ever been with someone who blurts out inappropriate remarks, who tells you what you do not want to hear, but who levels with you, is truthful with you, and is being real with you? What makes me uniquely qualified to talk about healing your relationship to others? Briefly, I have made it my life's work and focus to learn how to love and accept myself for the unique and special person that I am. My dream has been to study and understand love and healing to such an extent that I become a reservoir of knowledge for others. I have learned that the greatest gift I can offer anyone else is to be as fully myself as I possibly can be, regardless of their response, reactions, attitudes, behaviors, and current beliefs. Just because someone expresses their own fears, their own judgments, or their own criticisms, if I stand up for myself and continue to express who I am often amazed at how another person's attitudes, words, and behaviors start to change, even in my presence. Relationships are a work of art in progress. Each of us is the artist, influencing, altering, and recreating the relationship. Each of us is also the artwork, the piece of art, being molded, affected, manipulated, challenged, and ultimately changed if we allow ourselves to be altered by our connection with another human being. In that way, we are co-creators of every relationship. Our relationship becomes a third entity, a fragile masterpiece of art, which is created moment by moment, molded by every single thought and word and action by each one of us. Some words and activities continue to build the relationship. Other words and actions chip away at the beautiful artwork that may have taken weeks, months, years, or even decades to build. And some actions and events are so powerful that they can literally rip the relationship from its foundation. Relationships are powerfully strong entities. They often last through painful explosions, miserable nastiness, long periods of frustration or anger, isolation, and emotional pain. Relationships can also be quite fragile. Without the necessary nurturing and fondling, the love and attention and joy can wither away, and any relationship can crumble. Before embarking on a journey into healing our relationships, it is essential to return first to our own self. I always begin with the very basic yet incredibly profound question, who am I? Who are you? Sit in a comfortable position, uncross your arms and legs, feel your feet on the floor. Take three slow, deep, easy, and quiet breaths. easy breaths. Close your eyes and allow your body to relax. Take three more deep, easy, and quiet breaths. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. When I ask each question, respond in your mind in the first person by saying, I am. For example, when I ask the question, who am I? My answer might be, I am a woman, an educator, a teleseminar leader. When I ask again, who am I? I might say, I am creative, I am sensitive, I am successful. When you hear the question, respond with your immediate response. Accept the answers that come. Do not edit or change the answers. Listen to your mind's first answer, the most correct response at this moment. Who am I? What are other people here for in my life? Why am I alive now, right now, at this time? What do I believe is my purpose in life, in this life? What do I believe about love? Is joyful, abundant love possible for me? Who do I enjoy touching and holding, if anybody? And why or why not? What are some of the body physical symptoms that have a message for me about my life, my stresses, and the way I'm handling my life and current situations and people? What yearns to heal inside of me? What does sexual reawakening mean to me? And finally, what is the role of God, a higher power, or spirituality in my life? You may have noticed that when I ask these questions in the previous module, your responses might have been completely different, at least for some of these questions. It is an evolving process, and we are continually evolving moment to moment. Now that you have briefly explored this incredibly powerful concept of who you are, the next most important question I would like to ask you is this: are you happy? What do you believe makes you happy now, and what do you believe would or could or will make you happy in the future? Do you believe that having a new car will make you happy, or a new home, a new job, a new career, a new computer? a new diamond ring or diamond earrings, a new skateboard, a good report card for your child, a new lover, or something else new that you don't have right now. Yes, of course, anything you desire that you actually get can give you a momentary high, a momentary sense that you are happy. But we all know that the brief pleasure from any material or emotional connection is always only temporary. In fact, everything is temporary. The only thing we can truly count on is change. We cannot really hold on to anything. But we feel attached. We feel as if we cannot live without our home, our car, now our cell phone, or our spouse, our children, our current lover. And when we have to part with something we feel attached to, we experience great suffering. Sometimes we wallow in that suffering for a very long time, maybe years. I have seen that with people in love. As long as the object of their desire, the person they claim to love, is reciprocating and sharing intimacy and sexual pleasure, then both people feel happy. But what happens when one of them loses interest or backs away for any number of reasons? The one who still feels the love and desire and attachment can become incredibly clingy and needy and demanding. As this person continues to lose control over the feelings and reactions of the other person, they feel this attachment and they cannot let go. They may also become depressed, despondent, and sometimes even psychotic in their desire to recapture what somehow seems to be slipping away. Attachment is so powerful and can create so much emotional pain. Of course, relationships are all about attachment. How can we claim to be in love if we do not feel attached? That is the dilemma. And we have a term for it, codependency. How do we create a balance between attachment and independence, needing another person and allowing that person to be their own self and even leave if they have to, feeling the desire to be with them and allowing them to pursue their own dreams, even if we will no longer be able to participate with them as they pursue their dreams? The bottom line is this: whether you choose to believe it or not, no person, place, or thing has the power to make you happy or unhappy. There are people imprisoned for life who manage to find a way to be happy. One of my spiritual mentors, Ken Keyes Jr., author of The Handbook to Higher Consciousness, was a quadriplegic confined to a wheelchair. He built a life of happiness and joy by serving others with his wisdom and love. So what is it that makes us happy or unhappy? It is our beliefs and the thoughts we continually filter through our mind. It is our perceptions and interpretations and judgments about the way people should be, should think, and should behave, and also our interpretations about what that means about us if they don't behave and think the way we expect that they should. You might say, my boyfriend treats me badly. How can I be happy with someone who says such mean things or destroys my property or is physically brutal with me? The answer, as always, is not out there, as much as we would like it to be. The problem is not this mean and abusive boyfriend, as much as you would like it to be. The problem is always you. Why are you choosing to be with someone who hurts you? What are the payoffs for you? Do you get to feel superior? Do you get to have the freedom to complain that you maybe did not have when you were a child? Do you get to justify your own laziness by blaming this other person for stopping you from doing whatever it is you're really afraid to do? Do you get to feel like a good person because you're tolerating somebody else's abuse? And is there a piece of you or something that you're doing that is encouraging and instigating this type of behavior in the other person? Why are you choosing to be with someone who hurts you? You could easily make a decision to change your life. I did not say you could easily leave this person. It may take some time, some planning, and lots of outside support to actually change your physical circumstances. But the choice is yours. You can make the decision to change. And no matter how this other person is speaking, acting, or behaving, you can choose to feel good about yourself. You can even choose to be happy. Other people have managed to find happiness in circumstances much worse than you could ever imagine. So if relationships are not here to make us happy, if our relationships with others are also not the cause of our unhappiness, then what is the purpose for being in any relationship? Why bother if in the end we have to focus on our own self, make our own decisions, and perhaps to choose to change our own self? The answer, I believe, is quite simple. The purpose for all relationships in our life is to provide a mirror into our own soul. Every relationship teaches us something we need to learn about our own self. Every relationship reveals to us what we like and don't like, what we feel and don't feel, what we want and don't want, and what we desire or feel indifferent about, or even what we hate. Nobody, not one single man or woman, can be everything we want and satisfy all of our needs. Even if they somehow manage to do so for a short period of time, then our needs would change and we would begin to desire something else. As I said earlier, the only thing we can be positive about is change. Everything will change. My grandmother used to say when I was up against some trying time, "This too shall pass." And sure enough, whatever I was so consumed with, so upset about, I could not even imagine at this point in time. It passed so long ago, and I barely have a memory of it. Everything and every person will change. We begin as the union of our father's sperm and our mother's egg. Then the cells grow and expand, divide and expand. We continue to grow into, usually the latest, our early 20s. And then our body begins its very slow, continual process of decline. Whatever age you are right now, you do not look the same as you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and you will not be the same 5 or 10 years from now. Your physical appearance will change, and your beliefs and thought processes will also change. Life experiences, interactions with different people, and whatever you focus your attention on or avoid paying attention to will ultimately change you. So what does all this have to do with healing your relationships? The first step toward healing your relationship with others is to focus on and heal your relationship to your own self, to your own body, mind, and spirit. Discovering and pursuing your life path, your passion, your dream, and your unique purpose allows you to let go of people, places, things, thoughts, ideas, emotions, and beliefs that no longer serve you. Once you are truly connected to your chosen path in life, relationships become much easier. Either they are aligned with your direction in life or they are not. If they fit into the scheme of your desires and dreams, then you can allow yourself to become more closely connected. If the attitudes, beliefs, and actions of others detract you from your chosen path and suppress your belief in your own self, then you know you need to part ways. But once you decide, that is, you make a conscious choice to befriend another person, then you allow that person to unfold who they are freely, openly, and without constraints. You can always renegotiate. You can always walk away. You can also choose to remain loyal for life, continuing to allow the other person to be who they are fully and freely. Whew! What a relief to allow another person to just be in your presence. And what a relief for you to be allowed to just be you, for me to just be me in your presence. Yes, you may have expectations. You may even verbally and clearly express your desires and expectations. But you also make it clear that you love and accept this person no matter what. Even if they never meet any of your expectations, you do not badger them to change. You do not demand that they do what you believe is right. You do not whine and whimper and sulk and have tantrums and manipulate. You always return to your own self and ask the simple question, who am I? What purpose do I serve in other people's lives? What purpose do other people serve in my life? So now we come to the nitty-gritty of relationships. You like to hold hands, be close and intimate, and you're touchy-feely. Your partner prefers independence, distance, and allows closeness only infrequently. These are two different coping styles, based on too many factors to easily change either person's style. One of you loves to be spontaneous and do whatever in the moment, right now. The other person likes to plan, feels much more secure knowing exactly what to expect, and does not enjoy surprises. One of you lives only for the present moment, spends money freely right now. The other person plans for the future, saves and carefully calculates expenses. One of you is emotionally calm and even-tempered. The other person is volatile and much more easily upset, and sometimes even nasty, and you can't even understand where it's coming from. One of you always looks to solve a problem. The other person looks for communication and understanding and being listened to. Right now, take a moment to think about the way you are in relationships. Do you prefer closeness or distance? Do you like to be spontaneous, or are you usually a definite planner? Do you live for the present moment, or do you like to really plan for the future? Are you emotionally calm usually, or do you tend to be moody and temperamental? Do you tend to control and like to have control over people and situations? Or are you more often passive, letting the other person take the control and make the decisions? Are you demanding? Do you demand what you want and ask for what you want and expect it? Or are you often kind of laissez-faire? Maybe you want this, maybe you don't. You're not even sure what you really want. Now, think about one or two of the most important people in your life. Are their coping styles similar to yours or different from yours? And how do you respond to those differences? How do you choose to soothe yourself when you're upset? What thoughts, beliefs, actions, and behaviors from the other person help to make you feel better or feel worse? What thoughts, beliefs, or actions on your part help you to feel better or worse? What differences with another person do you consider to be deal breakers? In other words, what thoughts, actions, and behaviors of another person are so intolerable to you that you could not remain in this relationship with someone who is like that? What problems brought to you by another person are insurmountable for you? For example, if you are single, is it a deal breaker for the other person to be divorced with children? Is it a deal breaker for the other person to be struggling financially or to not have the same education that you have? What do you value most in your life? Make a list of the 10 or 20 things you most value in life. Be as honest as you can. If you value money, don't pretend to yourself that it doesn't matter. If you value honesty, don't try to be okay with someone who often deceives you or lies to you. If you value fair play, don't always forgive and forget when someone manipulates and controls you. Become clear about what you value most in your life. And then evaluate your relationships based upon those values that matter most to you. You may have to let go of some long-time friendships that do not coincide with your desires, dreams, values, and the goals you have for your life. What do you want in an intimate relationship? Ask yourself the following questions and be really honest. Allow the first responses that occur to you. Why do you want to have an intimate love relationship? How do you feel when you are alone and not involved in a love relationship? What do you hope to experience, to feel, or to have by being romantically involved with another person? How is being involved in an intimate love relationship better than being alone, better than friendship or family? Is there any other way for you to achieve the same feelings or goals that you have always expected would come from an intimate, loving, romantic relationship? No matter how much activity and how many people we use to fill the hours and minutes in our daily life, none of us can escape the ultimate truth. We are, each of us, inescapably alone. We are also, all of us, inescapably connected to each other and to everything and everyone around us. We are born alone. Nobody can be born for us. Even identical twins are born separately. And even those twins that are attached somewhere in their body have complete separate minds and complete functioning separate from each other. We die alone. Nobody can die for us. Even if others are dying at the exact same moment, each of us will experience our own death in our own way. Since we are ultimately all alone, why do we need each other? Why not learn to face our own aloneness now? The answer is simple. We need contact with our environment and with each other to know we are alive, to stay alive, to stimulate our senses, to touch, to heal, to love, and to be loved. We require contact with others to know our own self. No matter how much activity and how many people we use to fill the hours and minutes in our daily life, we cannot escape the truth that we are, each of us, inescapably alone. And that we are, each of us, inescapably connected to each other and to everything and everyone around us. What do you believe about relationships? What do you believe about love and the way it is and the way it should be for you? What are the rules that you believe are essential for a loving, healing relationship? Each of us has the potential to be or become almost anything we can imagine. Each of us also has the potential to connect with a partner who fits our dream of love. What is your dream of love? What is your most fulfilling romantic fantasy of lasting love? You are about to become the director, producer, and leading actor in your own romantic fantasy. Create a cast of characters. Put in as many details as you choose. Place yourself as the leading man or leading woman in your own romantic story. Exaggerate. Think big and beautiful, rich and famous, healthy and healing, erotic, sensual, loving, passionate, joyous. Celebrate you in your own romantic vision. Imagine yourself having and being more than you ever dreamed possible. Not just for the moment, but for a lifetime, your lifetime, this lifetime, now. Ask yourself the following questions. Who is romantically involved with me? How do I look and feel and behave and express myself? If I could see my face, how would I look? What do I experience and receive and become? Where do I live and travel and play. How do I play? What kinds of events happen in the daytime, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the fall, in the winter, in the spring, in the summer, and in what year or years? What people am I choosing to be involved in my romantic fantasy? And why have I chosen these people? And finally, a really important question. How does my romantic vision compare to my current romantic life? Imagination is the most powerful tool we will ever have in our life. Nobody can take our imagination away from us, except if we allow our own dreams to be denied, suppressed, or invalidated. Nothing has ever been achieved without beginning in somebody's mind as an idea, a thought, an image, a concept, or a vision. Imagination has led to every major scientific breakthrough, musical and artistic masterpiece, architectural monument, and even Olympic or World Cup athletic competition. Now that you have visualized or imagined your fantasy romance, take a few moments to contemplate the following. What do I need to do? Is there something I need to be or become to actually live into my fantasy romance? What researchers have discovered about creativity is that it often appears to come as a moment of revelation, a sudden insight, a dream, an image, or a symbol. The original idea, the necessary steps to be taken, or the final solution to an ongoing problem have usually not been found by working hard at trying to figure out a solution. It seems to be that we must take the necessary steps to learn what we can learn through our brains and logical abilities. But if we rely solely upon our brains and what appears to be logical in the present moment, we will be unable to create. Logic and control do not lead to creative solutions. We cannot control our imagination. We can only allow it to flourish. We can use our imagination to create, first in our mind and eventually in our physical reality, the type of love relationship we truly want, not the ones we think we must settle for because of some preconceived idea of who we think we are and what we think is possible. What is stopping or blocking you from living your own dreams, your own romantic fantasy? Are there thoughts ruminating through your mind? Are there some leftover beliefs from your childhood or from recent life experiences? Are you afraid for some reason to truly pursue what you want, what your gut and your emotional truth tells you? Do you even know what you really want? To find out what areas of your life could use some healing, if you have not done so yet, please take the short quiz and get your free report that could literally jumpstart you on your road to love. It's available at http://budurl.com/createloveheal. Find the perfect healing book that helps you to overcome whatever is currently stopping or blocking you from the relationships and the love you truly desire. Available at http://budurl.com/mylulustore. It doesn't matter what you do, what you say, or what you feel at any given moment. In the end, all you are is pure love, forever searching to be loved and accepted. Just look at a little baby and watch them when they smile and giggle. And that's who you are, too. You were once that little baby. Just wanting love, wanting to see the love in other people's eyes and to giggle and smile and be completely open and available. Following the path of love is rarely easy. It is strewn with obstacles and problems. Some of us are easy to love. We look inviting, we act friendly, we entertain, we tell jokes, we're funny, and we touch with gentle abandon. Some of us are distant and aloof, shy and clumsy, arrogant, critical, and difficult to love. Or maybe we keep people at a distance and wonder why we feel alone. It is usually easy to love someone who pleases us and behaves in a way that we find appropriate. The true test is whether we can maintain our equilibrium and continue loving when the other person does not offer us what we think we want, need, or desire. The question to ask ourselves is, can I continue loving when love keeps testing my fortitude, pushing my limits of endurance, dipping the scales of my self-esteem? Only you can decide if you have given your very best love to another. Only you can love. Nobody else can do it for you. How will I love today? Beginning this week, practice waking up each and every morning with this one question. How will I love today? Then, in each and every activity throughout the day, as soon as you remember, ask yourself, is this love? Is this the most loving that I can be to myself and to others? As the evening draws to a close, before you go to sleep, review your day by asking, how have I loved today? In what ways could I have loved more? And how might I love better tomorrow? Always remember to add at every moment, how have I loved myself today? How am I loving myself in this moment? Could I have loved myself more today? And can I love myself more in this very moment? I have enjoyed so much sharing my thoughts and insights about love and loving others and loving yourself. Remember, we are all on the path to learning how to give and receive and become unconditional love. The next module, number 3, is all about healing your relationship to your own past. Instead of living in the present and being continually influenced and affected by your past, you can learn how to let go and live now the way you truly want your life and your relationships to be now. let me conclude with a poem entitled Be Who You Are, which is the greatest gift you can give to the world. Be who you are. Man-child of the world, enfold me. Wrap me in your fatherly arms. Protect my fragile spirit from the dangers of my untamed mind. Child woman of the earth, hold me. Caress me with your motherly touch. Arouse my tired senses from my fear of life and love. Precious child of God, your firelight enriches me. Ignite the smoldering embers of my inner fire so bright. Shine your love light on my heart. Watch my firework display. Let me dream about the power of your embrace.